Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our light and our Redeemer. Amen. I must say from the very beginning, something that I have been wrestling with all week with this text, and it's this idea of light. I recently read Lenny Duncan's book. It's called Dear Church, A Love Letter from a Black Preacher in the Whitest Denomination in the U.S. And so I just begin with that caveat of the tension that can be found in Scripture when we use and we lift up light, oftentimes opposed to darkness. And so many Black theologians are wrestling with that, while others seem to be perfectly fine with it. And so as a white person, am trying to figure out this thing and I'm seeing different views, I have a hard time trying to figure out where to go with this light language. And so I just begin with that. As it is Black History Month, I want to be very sensitive to the things found in our scripture that may build up this dichotomy between light and dark, where light is viewed as good and darkness is viewed as bad. But as I was searching, I came across a well-known African-American spiritual. We all know it, I'm sure. It's called This Little Light of Mine. Who knows it? All right, that's what I thought. So it goes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. And then it says, put it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. And maybe you learned it in Vacation Bible School, so you know the hand motions that go with it. You put it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. I bring that up because I have come across this song many times in my life. The first time was when I was a young high schooler and I was leading Vacation Bible School. And I had these groups of kids as young as two singing and dancing along to this song. And it was cute. And I thought, well, this is a children's song. Fast forward a couple years, I'm a pastoral intern at a senior living community, primarily working with memory support patients that have lost most of their memories of their family members. And every week we would do a hymn sing. And it was all the classics, Amazing Grace, Abide With Me, Jesus Loves Me, and This Little Light of Mine. And it's funny because I thought those words would be known because there are things that stick forever, even when the powers of dementia take over. And so when we were singing those songs, they were usually carefully reading the words. But when it came to This Little Light of Mine, they all looked up and they smiled and they sang the words from memory. And not only the words, but they had the actions too. And I thought, wow, what I thought was this children's song, 90 years later, some people were singing it. My oldest resident, who was 102, who was living with Alzheimer's, she was singing and she was doing the motions. So this connection from the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives. Now I have to confess, and this probably won't surprise people like Pastor Jason, but I really dislike that song. It's probably one of my least favorite songs. And I admit that because I, too, just like this light language, have been wrestling with this song for so long. Of it's just a children's song, why does it stick so much to us? I'm not one for silly motions during songs. But then on internship last year, there was a member who died by suicide. And members from all different communities joined us in that church. What was so surprising was that one of the songs that we sang was This Little Light of Mine. And this funeral that was heavy with tears and all these emotions that occur when anyone dies, but especially when someone dies by suicide, all of those emotions seem to either vanish away or dim for just a moment as they smiled and they sang and they did the motions for This Little Light of Mine. So I have to say, it's not my favorite song still, but I don't dislike it quite as much because there's something about the simple song that connects us all, and that's beautiful. I can't not like something that connects us. But what is it with this song? I think primarily is that it teaches us about who we are in God's sight. The text from today says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Do you hear that? It doesn't say that you should be the light of the world, or if you do this, you will become the light of the world, or you must do this and become the light of the world, or you have the potential to be the light of the world, and I could go on and on, but it says you are the light of the world. And even more, if you go back to the Greek, and this is where my Southern most perfectly portrays what it's saying, it says all y'all are the light of the earth. All y'all, all of us gathered together, each one of us, is the light of the world. And this identity is given to us in baptism. And so I rejoice with our newest light of the world that has just joined our community today. And I don't know if you heard it. What the assisting minister said as the candle was placed in front of John was, "Let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We become the light of the world in baptism. And that is why this song, I think, is so important to us, because it reminds us over and over again whose we are, what we are, and what we are called to do. And so I ponder, what exactly does light do? And I think it provides a sense of safety, I don't know, but I'm still kind of a little scared of the dark. And so it draws people to safety as well. There's lighthouses that will bring ships to safety. They guide people. Think of the North Star, which is a light that guided so many slaves into freedom. And then think back to the Hebrew scriptures, the pillar of fire by night is what led them. It also is a force to promote growth. I think about plants, how they need the light of the sun to grow. And then after that, we need that light in order to breathe, because photosynthesis is what produces oxygen that gives our lungs breath. So light is truly a life-giving force. Another thing it does is it illumines that which is otherwise unseen, that which is hidden, and also that which we purposely hide. Light is visible, pervasive, relentless, far-reaching, and sometimes unexpected. So then what does it mean when we say that we are light? First of all, it is a continuation of the blessings that Jesus was giving us last week. We had the Beatitudes, and Pastor Jason beautifully worked through how those blessings work, and they reach out to every single one of us. We turn to one another, and we gave each other blessings. And so this sharing of you are the light are a continuation of that blessing. And then it inherently makes it part of our identity. It's how we should live. And it's important, I must remind you of this, because we need to get this across, that this light in which we are bestowed and which we become is a gift freely given. I've said this already, and I'm going to say it again because it is very important, that nothing we can do can make us light, just like nothing we can do gives us grace. We are light whether we know it or not, whether we resist it or not, whether we live it out or not. But because we are light, we are invited to respond with action. And light without action, I think, is what Matthew's gospel is getting to today when it compares light being put under a bushel basket. This is what light without action looks like. It blocks that light from others. And so what does it look like to hide that light from one another? I think first and foremost, personally, it means isolating myself from community, not being in relationship with others or being in superficial relationships where I don't share who I am at my core with others. It also looks like hiding our light when we lock ourselves in the walls of the church, when we don't go out there. We are called out into the world, and that is how we share that light. We also hide our light when we act in ways that dim or even extinguish the light in others, when we participate in systems that oppress those whom Jesus called blessed last week. Because we are light, yes, not for ourselves, but for all the world. Hear again the words of Matthew. You are the light of the world. You are not the light for yourself. You are not light for the neighbor next to you who thinks exactly like you. You are light for the world, for those who are very different from you, for those who have the same story as you, and for those who have a vastly different story from you, for those who maybe you ardently disagree with, whom you may refer to as your enemies. You are a light for them. That is a responsibility. But by showing that light to one another, by putting that light on the lampstand, we reveal the inbreaking of God's kingdom here and now. And so how do we do this? How do we live out being light in the world? Luckily, we have scripture to guide us here. I'm drawing heavily on last week's Beatitudes because this passage is right after. and it is addressed towards those who are declared blessed. And so we live out being light in the world by working towards this reversal of what the world calls blessed. When we work towards the kingdom of God here and now by living out those Beatitudes, to turn to our neighbor and declare their blessedness, especially those who have not heard that they are blessed. And in Isaiah today, we also hear how to be light for the world. I'm going to read, starting at verse 6. Is not this fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So the Isaiah text today tells us that light is this future reality that can break into our world today. And it is slowly breaking in, like the light comes through those stained glass windows. We are to practice righteousness, to free the oppressed, care for the hungry, poor, and naked, and to provide for them. And light will be restored in the city, and our light will shine forth like the dawn. We are so blessed that we are given directions right here on how to be light in the world. And I think, again, in this context of Black History Month, to be light means to, as a white person, for myself, to be light means to no longer hide the ways in which I've been complicit in systems that have oppressed my siblings of color. To be light means to authentically confess that I am a racist. To be light means to show up and to walk with my siblings of color. And for those of you who identify as white, I ask if you can confront that in yourself. It is very important during this month to be able to do that so that you can be grounded and then spread that towards other parts of the year. It's not just for one month that we are called to be light for our siblings of color, but for all months. But to be light as a community is to name blessed that which the world has declared unworthy. It means to publicly declare this month and all months that Black lives matter because they have been told they don't. It's to reveal to ourselves and to others the reality of injustice. Today, during fellowship hour, we are going to have the opportunity to learn a little bit about the history that people of color have faced in this world today. And as I was looking through the calendar last week, there is something on every single day. And now I don't want to steal the anti-racism team thunder here. We must learn that history. Because I confess, half of those events that I read, I am not familiar with. So to be light, I must learn that history. I must learn the fact that incarceration is just a new form of slavery. I need to listen and to read voices of Black authors to show up and publicly confess. But the good thing is that we have examples of doing this. The ELCA just this past year confessed. They released a statement apologizing. And there are plans to move forward there. There are other ways that we can live this out. And Wicker Park Lutheran is doing it well. I'm very excited to see the work of this anti-racism team. And so I really encourage you to learn more about them. I encourage you to dive into the beauty and the depth that is found in Black history. This is hard. This is really hard. It's difficult for me to stand up in front of all y'all and admit that I am racist. But the good news is that Jesus, again, doesn't say that you singularly, I am not the light of the world, but rather all of us are the light of the world. We are not in this alone. About 2 weeks ago, I was in France at this community called Tizay. It's a monastery. And on Saturdays, we celebrate the resurrection with lighting candles. At one point, my candle completely went out, and so I tipped it towards my friend's candle. And all of a sudden, the flame got so much bigger. That is the strength of our light when we are together. That even when my candle is out with the support of the one that is sitting right next to me, we can still be light in the world. We are not in this alone. So when it becomes too much, we have someone to carry our flame. And then I leave you with a song with one of the Tizay songs we sang as lighting those candles. It says, "The kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come now and open in us the gates of your kingdom. Come now and open in us the gates of your kingdom." You are the light of the world. And the kingdom of God, I don't know if you noticed this, it says in us. The kingdom of God is already living within you. You are the light, and the kingdom of God is right inside you. And so, God, I pray that you open in us the kingdom that is already there, already working, and you allow our light to break into all the world. Amen.